I'm sorry about the microphone not working very well during that. Do you have any idea what Caroline just was trying to tell you? It's like Monty Python, blessed are the cheesemakers. What? If you're like most people, you want to hurry through the toughest part of Jesus' story. To skip the betrayal and the trial and the suffering and just arrive at the resurrection. We want to move past the dying and the death pretty quickly and get back to life again. I get it. I'm an old cross-country coach and I love a long, leisurely run, but not this week. I want to sprint to Easter too. To jump from Hosanna to Hallelujah and hardly touch down in between. Today's noisy, sort of wonderful celebration of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem can seduce us to leap right to the empty tomb, right to the upper room, right to breakfast with Jesus on the beach, moving from one mountaintop experience to the next. But we miss something essential, I think, about God and ourselves by ignoring the pain of the story. The wisdom born of betrayal and conflict and mess. New York tells me that life is about the victories, but the heart tells me that life is about making meaning out of defeat. Hollywood tells me that life is about being tan, blonde, and beautiful, or young, dark, and handsome, or rich enough to attract someone who's all that. But the heart tells me that life is really about having a spirit which stays supple and adventurous, willing to grow even as our bodies weaken and fall apart, even as I discover the ways that I'm blind or deaf or mean. The fragile ego says it's all about me and what I can get, while the heart, seasoned by being knocked down a few times and lifted up by some measure of kindness, says the truly good life is about building something together that seeks the common good, creating community that's both means and end, being lovers who serve the least and the last and the lost. Do you see that the false way is about wielding power over, while the true way is about sharing power with? Since the beginning of time, civilizations have craned their necks, looking skyward for the holy, seeking a power that defeats our so-called enemies, a power that, let's be honest, that doesn't so much level the playing field as put our gang on top, a power that even controls nature. But what Jesus reveals is a God who's in the ditch, helping people in the worst possible situations find their own power and use it for the good. A God who's right here with us, in our own hands and hearts, and even in the ones that we've labeled enemy. And that's the part that got him killed 2,000 years ago, and it's the hardest part about following him today. If we're in this for the long, lonely stretch between victories, God's power and our best selves are revealed where we least expect it, standing near, walking with, dying for the one we disagree with, the one we don't understand, even the one who wishes us ill. Because we're each other's business, and humankind is, on some days, our worst problem, but it's also our greatest gift, and it's our only way through with God's help. Letting ourselves walk day by day through Holy Week makes one thing pretty clear. The way that God comes to us is more down than up. Through the valleys, through the shadows, through the deaths. In some sense, the promise of the crucifixion is, I will meet you in the dark places of your life, in disappointment and destruction and despair, Because I've been there. It's counterintuitive, I think, but the way to God is down. If we have eyes to see it, the light that shines through the crucifixion and through every horror of freedom that we can pervert is the promise of God's presence. It's an extraordinarily sturdy truth standing on our extraordinarily fragile feet. Jesus never said that he'd take the hard times away. What he consistently shows is that God will be there in the midst of whatever pain or struggle. If we have the courage to embody him, the courage to make him known, the courage to offer something to those whose lives are most desolate. Years ago, the disciples asked Jesus for a sign, and he said that the only sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah, the fellow you remember who spent 3 days inside a big fish. Jonah, you'll remember, was running away from himself, from a difficult political reality and from his true calling. And so he got swallowed up by what the story says is a fish, but what we know is avoidance and denial. Sound familiar? Metaphorically, he goes down to the bottom of a deep, dark sea. But alone there, with nothing and no one, he calls for God and God answers. In his darkest hour, in the coldest, most desolate place, God comes to Jonah. And in the process, God transforms the belly of a whale into a holy temple. And in that story is the promise of resurrection for everyone who knows the dark valley and the shadow of defeat. The soul is always freed and formed in such wisdom. Native religions speak of the lessons of winter and summer. Mystical authors speak of the integration of darkness and light. Eastern religions speak of the yin and the yang of the Tao. And what they all share is the pattern of descent. Moving from Palm Sunday to the cross tells us this: before we can get to the light at the end of the tunnel, the journey of the soul has a direction, and it's down, and it's dark, and it's difficult. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And I raise it up today because we're so likely to be in the midst of something down and dark and difficult and blame ourselves for it. Or say, well, what did she do to get herself out of it that I don't know? But the reality is that life is often down and dark and difficult. And if it's not for you right now, then stand on those right now sturdy feet and offer what light you've got to somebody else. But this journey is also a hero's journey. Think about how far we have to travel to get from where we are today in Baltimore to where we know God wants us to be. With every child fed and educated, with every senior safe, with every prisoner rehabilitated and given a pathway to work and dignity, with every man and woman respected, and all of us beating our weapons into implements of life. But we're on a hero's journey. And you got to go down before you can come up. And we've got good company. Dante works downward through the rings of the inferno before he can ever come to paradise. Jacob wrestles with the angel on the ground through the night in the dark until he's wounded. And only then is he wise enough to get a new name. Maya has to dig through the story of her own abuse in order to discover why the caged bird sings. And Jesus faces betrayal and false judgment, and he dies a martyr's death. But the poor and the excluded are transformed by his witness, and he lives on whenever truth is spoken to power. You got to go down if you're going to come up. We're on a hero's journey. And today's heroes are the young people who, out of the depths of their own sorrow and loss, organized hundreds of thousands of other teenagers and adults to march for our lives. They went down and have come up to engender a sensible and respectful conversation about gun violence, to make sure that every child feels safe in their school and at worship, at a concert, or a disco. Perhaps the words that we prayed here yesterday morning can give us our marching orders. Gracious God, we have come to you inspired by the witness of young people, even as we come to you heavy-hearted. For we have heard the cries of the slain calling to us from streets and classrooms, from nightclubs and concerts, from churches and synagogues and mosques. We come remembering all the lives lost to the weapons that arm our cities and towns, our suburbs and countryside. We come reminded of the many young men and women locked away in jails and prisons across this land. And we come to ask for your mercy. We find ourselves in a broken world, a world in which hurting people hurt other people. But we know that healing is possible through your power and spirit and with our heads and hearts and hands. Our communities can be healed through justice and fairness. Your own revelation has shown us that you stand firmly with those people whose backs are against the wall. Your own life demonstrates a vision of heaven on earth, a way of living that redeems creation and our own lives. So we ask for this same redemptive power to be unleashed through us. We know that you take no pleasure in the death of anyone, so we boldly ask for your grace and guidance today, seeking your wisdom as we create strategies that provide pathways and lifelines to hope and healing. Help us to remember that we are all your children, each created in your image, and that we are connected by a single garment of mutuality and destiny. Help us never to forget that all people have the same basic needs and that each of us is called to address those needs for the sake of the world. Reveal to us, Lord, that the blood in Parkland is like the blood in Austin, that the pain felt in Newtown is like the pain felt in Chicago, that the tears shed in Oak Creek are like the tears shed in Oakland, that the lives lost in Las Vegas are like the lives lost in Camden, that the children buried in Colorado are siblings of the children buried in Detroit, that the heartache in Baltimore aches like the heartache in New York. We cry out to you, heal our souls from this scourge of violence. Endow us with the courage to step down from the pulpits and out from behind our desks to seek the peace of the city. In the coming days and weeks, as our leaders debate solutions, Lord, we ask that your children continue to find their voices and to use them to speak truth to power. Teach us your ways, O God. Bless us with the wisdom and the strength to put down our swords and beat them into plowshares. Use us, work through us, and if necessary, work in spite of us to mend our nation's brokenness. In the name of the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.